I want to welcome you to the Retro Rogues Live podcast. This is a segment from last week's live video show. The live show is available every Wednesday at 7 p.m. on Twitch, YouTube, and Twitter. Simply search for BassGod14, that's BASSGOD14, on either YouTube, Twitch, or Twitter. And now, on with the show. I want to welcome you to the Retro Rogues Live. Please pay attention to our warning graphic. It states that the Retro Rogues Live show is intended for an adult audience and not intended for children under the age of 13. Parental discretion is advised. Hold on. All right, so my name is Dave Beatty. As it currently sits, I am your only host for this evening. This is supposed to be a new format. We're having some technical issues. We didn't want to let things lag over too much more, so we made an executive decision for me to just go on live until Eric can join us. So I'm going to go ahead and start the show. My name is Dave Beatty, and on tonight's show, we're going to be talking about how do I start this? All right, let me pull up the graphic. We're a little discombobulated because I'm used to Eric being here to bounce off of. So just bear with me here as I kind of put this together. So we're moving into doing things a little bit differently here on the Retro Rogues Live. This is the first of our new format shows. So on tonight's show, this is a Collector's Corner focused episode. We're going to be talking about primarily collectibles. Collectibles, we're usually talking about trading cards, comic books, action figures, statues, toys, all those kind of fun things that we like to collect. On tonight's show, I've kind of put together some interesting picks of things to kind of keep in mind. If you're a collector, if you're an investor, if you're someone who's into the hobby, you're into the Marvel movies, the DC movies, you're into the comic books and cards, whatever, those kind of things that you're interested in. We're going to be primarily focusing again on collectibles this evening. This is the first of the new shows. Thursdays is going to be primarily for collectibles. So Thursdays moving forward is going to be Collector's Corner here on the Retro Rogues Live. Sundays in the afternoon is going to be Retro Reviews. Retro Reviews, we're going to be discussing the Babylon 5 pilot on Sunday. But for tonight, we're going to be talking about collectibles. I picked some interesting things I want to talk about this evening. And I guess we're just going to go ahead and get into it since it's basically, right now, just me. So again, my name is Dave Beatty, one of your hosts. During the last 30 years, I've been a professional illustrator and graphic designer. Worked on a lot of fun projects that people have heard of, such as Batman Incorporated, Justice League of America, and I've even also worked on the X-Men. All right, so let's go ahead and pull this graphic up here, if I can get it to work. Okay, bear with me, everybody. There we go. Okay, so we're going to start off the show tonight. We're going to be talking about Marvel trading cards. Now, the interesting thing about Marvel trading cards is there's the, because of the Impel Marvel collectible trading card boom, there's been a lot of interest in them. They've been kind of up and down, up and down, up and down. They've kind of settled in, at least with the 1991 Impel cards. Now, these are kind of interesting cards because I'm looking at them from the standpoint of, like, if you're a comic book collector, you want to collect that first appearance, that second appearance. You want to collect, you know, kind of, those are kind of your key comic books to collect. So if we begin to look at the trading cards from that standpoint, what's interesting is if we look at a character like Blade, there's a lot of interest in Blade. He's a popular character. I personally love the Wesley Snipes movies. Blade has actually had an animated series, like a anime series. He's also had a television series as well, which is really interesting. It's a really great character. And if we look at trading cards and we apply the first appearance, second appearance aspect, and we look at it, you know, for collecting trading cards, the interesting thing about Blade is probably his first one is actually from 1976. They released a set of Marvel stickers. So for those, that's probably going to be Blade's first appearance kind of in a trading card format. But the reality of it is his second appearance, maybe his first appearance on a trading card, because technically that's a sticker, is actually going to be from 1992, the Impel Marvel series card number 177. And it's actually the Night Stalker's card. So this is either the second appearance of Blade on the card or the first appearance of Blade on the card. Not 100% certain the best way to look at that. But It is at the very least his second appearance, if not potentially his first kind of appearance on a trading card. Now, with the Collector's Corner segments that we used to do before on the Retro Rogues Live, the way that we looked at these was if you're a collector, you've got, I like to look at it as like less than $20, an interesting way to pick up a collectible to hold on to it, whether you send it in to be PSA graded or not, you know, it's just an interesting collectible to have. So this Night Stalkers card is a really interesting and important card for Blade. Now, the card is not terribly valuable. If you go on eBay or whatever, you take a look at it, you can pick this card up very, very affordably. I mean, you're looking at a couple bucks. But if you get it PSA graded, maybe SGA graded, whoever, you hold on to it. Maybe over time, Blade gets popular, MCA movies come out, maybe this card goes up. I don't know. That's the speculation part of it. From a collector standpoint, though, it's kind of a fun card to have on hand. So I do have, this is my actual copy here of the card right here. I do typically keep these cards in binders, and I'm probably not going to have that card graded because it's just for my personal collection. But this is a really interesting card to think about if you're looking at collecting the Marvel characters. If you're into the MCU, you're looking for a different way to collect, maybe the comics priced out of range for you, or you're interested to find a different avenue, a perspective for collecting, this Night Stalker card is a great way actually to pick up an important key card for the character of Blade. Now, on the other side, the card on the other side, this is from 1992. This is Skybox. This is Marvel Masterpieces. This is card number 36. This is Blade. And as far as my research can tell, everybody, this is your Blade rookie card. If you're into collecting the Marvel cards, if you love the Marvel characters, if you're looking kind of, again, a kind of a fun, interesting angle to collect and potentially speculate on, this is going to be your Blade rookie card. This is going to be the key one to look for. Now, you can pick this card up really inexpensively. You know, we're talking a couple bucks, but you can get it graded, hold on to it. If the cards experience another spike, you know, there's a little bit more interest in them over time. This would be kind of a fun card to have on hand. So this is my Blade card right here. And again, these two cards of mine, I'm probably not going to have them graded because they're just staying in my personal collection. But I do have a lot of 1991 cards. I am in the process of getting graded. But anyhow, this is kind of an interesting thing. That would be kind of fun and cool to start looking at from the trading card standpoint. What is the first appearance? What is the second appearance? What is the rookie card for some of these characters? So if you're into Blade, this is kind of your kind of thing to keep an eye out on because, like I said, there's a 1976 sticker that's probably the first appearance of Blade, but technically that's a sticker. So I really feel like either your second appearance or your first appearance of Blade on a trading card, 1992 Marvel Impel number 177, the Night Stalkers card, and your rookie card for Blade, as far as I can tell, is from 1992, the Skybox Marvel Masterpieces card number 36. All right. It looks like Eric is here, but I don't think his mic is on. Eric, I don't know if you want to comment on this or not.
No, it's very cool. For those that may not be aware, we've been having technical difficulties. Dave, are you hearing me okay?
I can hear you, but it's still got that really bad lag going on.
All right. If anybody out there is watching the show, if you want to comment and confirm that that issue is happening as we're speaking and it's not just an issue where Dave is having difficulty hearing me. If anybody out there can just comment on that and whether my audio is okay or not, I would really appreciate that so we know what the problem is, if it's a problem on Dave's end or my end. So if anybody can comment about that, please just let me know if I'm coming out okay or if it's just Dave that can't hear me. So I'm probably going to try to take a little bit of a back seat because we are having these technical difficulties. At least until somebody confirms one way or the other that at least, you know, I'm being heard as far as the broadcast goes. And it's just an issue between maybe the headphones that Dave has or something like that. Who knows? I don't know. I've been having problems with my computer all week. So this is very frustrating, especially when we're in the middle of doing our format change. And so this is our first, you know, Thursday broadcast basically ever. I don't think we've ever broadcast on a Thursday before. And then, of course, we're starting this new format with the Collector's Corner Focus for Thursdays. And then Sundays, we're going to be doing the retrospective review focus on Sunday afternoons, actually. It'll be a noon show on Sunday, sort of like a matinee. These look pretty cool. And I myself, unfortunately, do not own any of the Marvel cards. I know that they have been quite popular as of late, but I myself do not own any of them. But I really like this one, especially this one on my right. The 1992 Skybox Marvel Masterpieces number 36 Blade. That's a really, really cool image. I really like that.
Yeah, it's a really cool looking card. Yeah, it's, again, because it's a masterpiece card, it's painted, you know, so it's a really, really great image. This artwork is actually by Tom Palmer, as far as memory serves. And it's interesting because most people would be familiar with Tom Palmer as being this long-term legendary inker who primarily worked on the Avengers. Just a really, really great journeyman inker from Marvel, did a ton of work. But yeah, as far as I could tell, this card does appear to be painted by the great Tom Palmer. The thing is cool too about this card, if you check out the back, let me put my, and again, I'm not used to driving this, everybody, so bear with me. But the back of the card is kind of cool because it actually has an image of Blade, actually from like an early first appearance from Tomb of Dracula. And you see how different the character
looked
back
cool.
then.
I really like that. But
yeah, this is a really, really cool card. And the thing that's interesting about this, like I said, this is basically, as far as I could tell, this is your Blade rookie card. So if you're into the collecting the cards, if you love these Marvel characters, if you're looking a different way to collect the Marvel characters and be kind of either a speculator or just a collector, these are important cards for Blade. I thought it'd be interesting to start, again, continuing to talk about Blade. We know there's a Blade production coming from Marvel down the road. We don't, like I said, currently have anything other than we know Mahershala Ali has been cast as Blade, and we know it's coming. That's all we've got so far. So if you're looking to collect Blade, you probably should get started sooner than later, because as Blade gets more popular, Blade collectibles, they're going to go up, or they're going to be harder to find. So I thought it'd be interesting to take a look at, again, from the trading card side, because like I said, right now you can pick these cards up relatively inexpensively. But like I said, as far as I can tell, this is either your second appearance of Blade on a trading card with the Night Stalkers card, potentially his first. Beyond the 1976 Donruss set, which again, like I said, technically is a sticker. It's not a card. Now, that, just to put that in perspective for you, that sticker, the 1976 Donruss sticker, I couldn't find a listing for Blade currently, but most of the Marvel sticker ones that have actually been graded, PSA 9, 10 or so, they go for anywhere from about $140 to $150 each. So they're not cheap. But again, these would be some fun cards to get, potentially get graded, hold on to long-term. If you want to be a speculator, if you're just a Blade fan, a Blade collector, these are two really important key cards to keep an eye out. So
that'd be very, very cool.
That'd be an interesting place to kind of start the show this evening, is talking about these. And this is how I'm going to be handling this, just for those of you who are watching. Moving forward here on the Collector's Quarters on Thursdays, this is what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be looking for early appearances for important key Marvel characters, ones that we know are either going to be coming to a Disney Plus show or a movie. And I'm going to be looking for the rookie cards and kind of pointing out where they sit, like if you want to collect them, you know, what they're going to set you back. But these are great cards, not very expensive. So really cool, fun way to get into the collecting hobby.
No, that's very cool. Hollywood Jackson is in the house. Hollywood, if you could confirm whether I'm having some audio difficulties. Dave has been having trouble hearing me, and we're trying to determine whether it's just an issue on, you know, my end or his end or what. So if you can confirm one way or the other, Hollywood, we'd really appreciate that. Just let me know if my audio is really bad right now.
All right. So we were going to kind of move kind of quick tonight, because the other part of this format too is unless people want to talk, we're going to try and keep it to probably about 45 minutes or so. Do you want me to go ahead and move into the comic pick side, Eric?
Yeah, that sounds good.
All right, cool. All right. So I am going to switch out this graphic here for just a second while I attempt to get the comic graphic to load up. I've been having some kind of issues on my end too. Not as bad, but still having some issues nonetheless. And plagued by a lot of technical problems lately here at the Retro Rogues.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Unfortunately. All right, so. Okay, these are going to be the comic picks for this evening. I've got sort of like what I consider a tried and true, and I've got kind of two speculatory things to kind of keep an eye out for. All right, so the tried and true one that you can still pick up for $20 if you're curious to look at getting on the Moon Knight train. The one I'm still kind of liking is Spectacular Spider-Man 22. This is from 1978. This is the first time that Spider-Man and Moon Knight actually met and also battled each other. I've talked before, you know, as far as the MCU is considered, in my mind anyway, I could see these two characters running into each other and it being maybe kind of fun. I don't have any insider knowledge or anything, but this is just a key issue for Moon Knight. Because this is the first time Moon Knight ran into Spider-Man. And this is your early Moon Knight book that you can still pick up that's kind of cool, that has a broader MCU context because it's Moon Knight meeting Spider-Man, that you can still pick up relatively inexpensively. If you go on eBay, this book's ranging about $35 to $40, but there are still listings on Mercari if you want to pick this book up for basically $20. So again, if you're interested in getting into collecting some Moon Knight comics, if you like Spider-Man, if you're looking kind of for a different avenue to look at, this is kind of a fun book to kind of keep an eye out for. And again, my goal with this, again, is $20 or less. That's what I'm looking at. I've got $20. I want to buy something fun to either hold on to as a potential speculative, you know, thing, or number two, just because I want to have something fun in my collection. This is, again, an early important Moon Knight key issue. First time Moon Knight meets Spider-Man. Now, my other two, and I do have the physical books here on hand. My other two, and I'm not sure which way to do this in, so we're going to do this kind of in this order. So we have the Joker number two. This is the current series. This is from 2021. This is the newsstand cover. I've got my copy here. For those people curious to see, this is my copy right here. I have here on hand. Now, the thing about this book is, and the weird thing about this book too, Joker number two, I haven't had a chance to read it yet, which is kind of bad, but I just haven't had a chance to read it yet. I've been too busy. But this is the first appearance of Vengeance. Vengeance is Bane's daughter. There's a lot of excitement and speculation and chatter about Vengeance, Bane's daughter. A lot of people seem to be very excited about it. And they think it's pretty cool, right? And this book is already kind of starting to spike in value a little bit. So right now on eBay, I have my notes here, my formerly ink-stained fingers. Joker number two, again, Vengeance, basically Bane's daughter, so first appearance. You can get this book for $15 or less. You might even be able to go to certain comic stores and maybe even still find this on the stands or a back issue bin actually for cover. But moving forward, when you look at the kind of the hype and the speculation behind Punchline, which was basically Joker's replacement sidekick for Harley Quinn, because Harley Quinn got too popular to be his sidekick anymore. You know, when you look at speculation and excitement around these kind of new Marvel villain characters, this is an interesting thing. So this might be a fun book to pick up and hold on to. I have my copy. I'll read it if I really like it. I don't know if I'll send it in the CGC to get graded or not. But it's an interesting modern book to keep an eye out for, okay? And then our last pick for this evening on the comics side, and then I've got my copy here too. And this is an interesting book. This is a lenticular book. I take it out, but you can see here that it's like the Bill Sienkiewicz image, and then you flip it, and there's the new version right there. Okay, so that's lenticular. All right, now, here's the thing about this book. Okay, so get the graphic back up. This is Moon Knight 188 from 2017. Now, this is the lenticular cover. The regular cover of this book is going for about $40 on eBay, Mercari, and higher. So it's about $40 and higher. And you may be asking yourself, why in the heck is this book already spiking in value? Moon Knight 188. What in the heck is going on in this book? Okay, here's the deal. Moon Knight 188, and again, I got my notes here, is the first appearance of, they call it Patient 86. or basically he is sort of like the agent or the avatar or what have you of basically Ra, and they refer to him as the Sun King. So you have the Moon Knight and the Sun King. This is the first appearance of this Moon Knight villain. This is considered a key issue. The reason I have picked this lenticular effect cover is because this is the one that you can pick up relatively inexpensively a lot of different places right now. You can basically pick this book up for $10 or less. There's comic book stores online. You can just buy it directly from them. You can get it off of eBay. And you can pick this book up, like I said, $10 or less. Why are you talking about this book, Dave? I know that's what you're asking. Why should I care? Here's the deal. The regular version of this cover of this book has already spiked. The short run variant cover of this book has already spiked in value, $40 and up. The reason being is there are pictures of Ethan Hawke on the internet from where they are filming the Disney Plus show Moon Knight. People are speculating because of the pictures of Ethan Hawke and the way he appears, a lot of people believe that Ethan Hawke will now be playing in the Disney Plus series Patient 86 or the Sun King. All right. This is your first appearance of the Sun King, Moon Knight 188. The reason I like the lenticular effect cover, technically, as far as I can tell, it still counts as a first printing. And this book you can still pick up for $10 or less. The other cover version of this, the other two, $40 and up already. Already. We don't even know for sure Ethan Hawke is playing Patient 86. We don't even know that for sure. The book has already started to spike. So again, if you're a Moon Knight fan, if you're into Moon Knight like I am, if you're looking to try and pick up some key issues, you know, before things get out of hand, this, like I said, if it turns out Ethan Hawke is playing Patient 86, if he is going to be playing quote unquote Sun King, this is going to be your first appearance. This is the one you need to look out for. If you want to drop $40 and pick up the other one, you can definitely do that. But if you're like me and you want to kind of play the game but not be too far in, this is going to be the one to pick up. This is still technically considered a first printing. And like I said, this book, $10 or less. So keep an eye out for the lenticular cover version of Moon Knight 188.
That's very cool.
Okay, so that's going to be it for what I have for tonight's Collector's Corner. That's what I've got. I got two trading card picks for you, you know, focusing on Blade. I think those are kind of fun things to keep an eye out for. Again, you know, those you can pick up relatively inexpensively, but if you're into Blade, it's a fun way to collect the character. And then again, these are going to be your comic book speculation picks, primarily still focused on Moon Knight, because I still think Moon Knight is the character kind of with the most upside if the Disney Plus show actually delivers. Your mileage on the Disney Plus shows may vary than ours, but I'm still excited for Moon Knight. And I still think it's an interesting way to kind of collect these characters and be into this, you know. So that's pretty much what I've got. I had a pop culture story for this evening, but between all the technical issues and everything that we've had, I wanted to verify a few things. The main thing I was going to talk about, though, on that is that SGA has dropped their submission prices. So if you're looking to get cards graded, and if you're looking at SGA, I've seen some SGA cards that are Marvel cards, so I think they are accepting Marvel cards. I haven't had a chance to confirm that yet, but I have seen SGA cards, graded cards that were Marvel cards, like on eBay and kind of showing up different places. The big deal is that SGA has actually dropped their price. They had recently jacked their prices up or raised their prices, and they were looking at $75 a card. That's now come back down, so it's about $30 a card, if I remember correctly. I was going to double check that, but between our technical issues and everything, I kind of got befuddled because I was like, oh, I guess I'm doing the show. So my apologies. And if I seem a little out of sorts, like I said, I'm used to kind of bouncing off Eric, and Eric does part of this and I do part of this, and it helps to keep the show a little bit more seamless than what it's been actually this evening. Yeah, so this is kind of what we're doing, everybody, moving forward on Thursdays. Hopefully a little bit smoother. What do you think about these picks, Eric?
Well, again, I did want to put out there, if anybody is listening to the show, let me know if I am having some audio issues. We're trying to clarify whether this is a problem, just where, you know, it's a problem on Dave's end or my end, because Dave is having trouble hearing me. And I guess I'm coming out real digital. So
if you can give me some input about my particular audio, I would really appreciate that. So at least we know what the problem is and we know whether the audience can hear me and it's just an issue with Dave or not. As far as what you were talking about, Dave, and I don't know, again, how well you can hear me right now. We do have a Twitch comment that says it's good that they're hearing me okay. Thank you, Morning Cartoons. Cartoons. Morning Cartoons. I'd like that. Cartoons. And, David also says that I sound good, and so does Hollywood Jackson. So, Dave, that probably means you're having problems with your headphones, which has happened in the past, where Dave's headphones are having a problem because he uses Bluetooth headphones as opposed to I use just a corded thing. So it's probably an issue. So that's good to know that at least I can talk about my stuff and I know what's going out, whether Dave can interact with me very well or not is going to be the issue here. So if you can hear me, Dave, the SGA stuff, I'm really interested in to know if you have any input on what the turnaround time is, because I know that's been a big issue with grading cards is the turnaround time. Do you have any information about the turnaround time for SGA graded cards?
The last I'd heard is that the turnaround time is still pretty good. I hadn't heard that they're having, you know, anywhere near the same kind of difficulties that they're having over at PSA. That was the last thing that, and again, I'm getting a lot of my card grading information actually from Northeast Ohio Sports Cards. He actually has a show on YouTube. So people that are curious, that's a place you can go to kind of get some more kind of timely information if you're curious on the cards. He does collect Marvel stuff. And he is more of a sports card guy, but he has been submitting cards to PSA and whatever. I know he's reluctant to send stuff to SGA for different issues because he doesn't like the way the graphics in the slab or whatever look. But I have been getting a lot of my information actually from him. And I know that SGA, as far as I know, they seem to be doing a decent job. But I know PSA has been the one that's had the biggest backlog. But we do have, it looks like Morning Cartoons is saying that he says PSA should be back up in July. So there you go. Let's go ahead and put the card graphic back up since we're talking about card stuff again here. Let me get the card graphic back up.
And I'm assuming based on your name, Morning Cartoons, that you are like a trading card collector. That may be why you decided to check the show today, since we did say that we were going to be talking about cards specifically. So I'd be curious if you do have any more insight into that. Personally, I do wish that the other grading card companies were more popular than they are, because it seems like everybody wants to do PSA. And I honestly don't 100% understand it, why PSA has become the standard, especially when they've jacked up their prices and they do have this long turnaround time and this huge backlog right now. And Morning Cartoons, if you have any insight on that, I'd appreciate it, because he says he is indeed a card collector. So if you have any insight on that, let me know.
And then, like I said, the thing I like about these cards here that I picked for this evening, it's not because they're super valuable per se, at least maybe not yet. But the thing I like about these cards, again, like I said, I'm looking at Blade. I'm looking at, you know, the MCU moving forward. Like we know how we have the Mahershala Ali Blade production that's going to be happening. I'm personally very excited for that. I'm a huge fan of Blade. I love the Wesley Snipes movies. I like the TV series. And this is kind of a fun way to get into Blade and collect Blade. Plus, like I've said before, trading cards take up less room than comic books. Even when you get them graded and slabbed, you know, they still take up a lot less room. They're kind of fun to kind of have. And you can pick these cards up in particular if you're a Blade fan relatively inexpensively. Like I said, probably the first appearance of Blade on any kind of a card type thing, although technically it's a sticker, so I don't think it counts as the 1976 Don Russ. But potentially your second appearance, maybe your first appearance technically on a trading card for Blade is going to be the 1992 Marvel Impel. That's the Night Stalker's card that's here. And again, your rookie card for Blade, as far as I can tell, is the 1992 Skybox.
So Morning Cartoons, he mentions that he does have a Instagram using the same handle. And he also does have a PSA subscription. So that sounds like Morning Cartoons. You might have some insight into that whole grading process. And I'd be curious to know how it's been going for you, because I've heard so many horror stories about PSA grading. In fact, our plan on this show, when we first started talking about the Marvel Impel trading cards, was that Dave was going to get his best cards graded, that he'd actually consulted with a friend of his who's into this, who knows about, you know, the quality and the issues of the cuts and all that stuff. And Dave had actually picked a few cards. We have a previous broadcast where Dave had picked cards to be graded. And then all of a sudden, PSA jacked their prices up. And the next thing we know, the backlog is incredible and you can't get anything graded. So I definitely would be curious what your experience has been, Morning Cartoons. And also, what kind of trading cards you personally get graded? What have you sent to PSA yourself? Morning Cartoons goes on and says they upped the prices, then eventually got rid of some of their tiers of service. Yes, I've heard of that as well. That's another issue that I personally have with PSA. Again, not as someone who's actually used it, though. I have not used PSA, so I don't want to claim that and throw that out there. Hollywood Jackson says we're looking good and sounding good on the 60-inch big screen. Oh, that's nice. That's especially nice to hear that we actually do look okay on a big screen like that. Thank you very much. Morning Cartoons goes on to say 93 Masterpieces has a nice blade too. Are you familiar with 93 Masterpieces, Dave?
Yeah, I have a lot of the Masterpiece sets. All the Masterpiece sets are great. Like I said, the reason I highlighted this particular card is because, as far as I can tell, in addition to being, like I said, just a great painting, it looks like, by Tom Palmer, again, legendary inker. Most people would know him from Marvel Comics, The Avengers. He inked John Buscema and Steve Epting and a bunch of really great artists over there. Most people would be familiar with his work from what they used to call the jacket era. In the 90s, and the Marvel characters wearing the jackets. I really like that stuff too. And I'm going through my cards here, trying to actually find the ones I had originally hoped to get graded. I have, like I said, I've got a bunch of the Marvel Masterpieces. The Masterpieces are probably, in my mind, the gold standard for the Marvel trading cards, because most of them are painted and they're just really incredibly beautiful images. The Joe Jusco original series is still, I think, your kind of high watershed. The 91 Marvel Impel is just really popular with people. I like that one too, because it's more of the comic book style images. But no, all the Marvel Masterpieces cards are just gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous.
Morning Cartoons also does mention that he did receive an email saying that PSA will be back in July. So he's got his fingers crossed on that. And then he also said that he agreed with you. And specifically, he's talking about the beautiful art of these cards. He says his dad has a Universe Set 1. My dad had the Universe Set 1.
Very cool.
So I do want to show the little unboxing that I promised, because it is in the comments and everything like that. So this is a little bit different unboxing. So we've actually talked in the past, Dave and I, about doing, like, he's actually purchased some sealed boxes of cards, and we've talked about actually showing them live. That's not what I'm going to do. I don't have like a sealed box of cards or anything like that. What I have is this, and this is actually some cards from my childhood. I think there might even be some stuff mixed in there from my brother's childhood. So these are cards that I'm already sort of familiar with in one respect or another, but I haven't looked at them in probably like 20, 30 years. I mean, it's been forever since I've looked at any of these. And there's some random stuff in here. So like, I just thought I would share this. Like, this is just like a random Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, The Secret of the Ooze sticker. And I don't even know where this came from, to be honest with you. And you can see the back here. You know, it says Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, Secret of the Ooze, you know, at theaters everywhere, March 1991. So this is a totally random thing. I have no idea where this comes from. It might have come from like a book or something. I don't know. I have these random post baseball cards, 1991 collector series for post, basically post serial, which I think is really kind of funny here. And they actually seem to be in pretty good shape. They've just been sitting in this box. You know, I haven't had them in sleeves or anything like that. I'm I'm eventually going to start doing that with some of this stuff because I do want to go through this grading process and I do want to actually use other places besides just PSA. I want to try to give some love to these other other places that do grading to see if maybe I could maybe get something actually graded and be able to talk about it on the air because the PSA situation is such a problem right now. Morning Cartoons does mention with the cards, that's a great era of baseball. And again, these were 1991 postcards, like post cereal, which I didn't even know I had these. It's kind of funny because this is what I knew was in here. So I've got these Garbage Pail Kids cards. And one of the things for me is that I haven't looked into this stuff. So I don't know what series they are. So this is like Laser Ray. We've got like Quentin, Beastly Boyd. I remember I used to really love these things when I was a kid. Damn Dan. And I'd be curious, especially if anybody in the Rogues Gallery there, if they are familiar with how do you determine, or off the top of your head, like, you know, the series of what these cards are. Because, you know, on a lot of these cards, for instance, this one, it actually has like a little cartoon on the back. But a lot of the Garbage Pail Kids cards, trying to find an example, actually, I think I had one before. So, for instance, like this card, it's all that's on the back is part of a puzzle. Right. So you basically were supposed to collect the cards and then you could make one big image. So there's really no information. The only information you have is there's a number in the corner. Right. This one is. Gosh, I can't even read it myself, but you can see it on camera. So it's got like a little number and a little letter. So it tells you in that respect, I guess, what the card is. I got Jack Frost. Another Beastly Boyd. So I've obviously got some repeats here. I remember as a kid, I would actually trade these like on the school bus. Ragged Angie. Peeled Paul. These things are like so funny and gross. There's such a thing that, you know, that kind of, you know, from my childhood. Sharp Nell. Let's see what else we got here. Rolanda. I don't know. They make me laugh. They definitely make me giggle. And I haven't looked at these in forever. Turned on Ron. Cute Tippy. I don't know. Maybe I'm immature. I think this is fun. Old Gloria. This is interesting because this one does have a checklist on the back. And this looks like it does say what series. It says six series. So this is six series right here. Because it does have the checklist on the back. And it looks like I have a duplicate of that as well. Oh, no, wait, they're different. I didn't realize that. So one is Old Gloria. And then the other one is Jose, Can You See? But it's the same image, but different names. And I am aware that they have cards like that. I've been aware of that before. Rustin Justin, that it's the same image. Like this one's Rustin Heap. And I do wonder if that I'm sure that would there'd be some difference in value on those, you know, the name as opposed to the image, like the image with the right name might be worth some more money, possibly. Ashley Trey. It's another duplicate where it's a different name. Bernie Burns. It feels like I did kind of know what I was doing when I first like organized these because I have the duplicates together. Hector Collector. And this is another one, by the way. This is also six series checklist on the back of this one. Got another version of the same card. GPK, also with the checklist on the back. And again, we got Wardy Ward with like the puzzle piece on the back. And different name, Joan Clone. Really makes me wonder about that because I have seen people talk about the different names being particularly sought after. Like one name is really common, nobody cares about, but then another name could be something that actually is sort of coveted. This is Burt Cage. I have another duplicate of that with a different name. Harry Canary. I don't know. I like this stuff. It's so juvenile, but I actually do like this stuff looking at it again. And I haven't looked at this stuff in, like I said, like 30 years or something ridiculous like that. Trina Cleaner. And I don't even have any modern Garbage Pail Kids. I stopped collecting this stuff. Gosh, like I said, like probably like 30 years ago or something, probably more than that, because I think it was really more like an elementary school thing for me. It wasn't as much like something that I got into as an adult or kept up with as an adult or even in high school. It was definitely something from my childhood. And that's just a few of the cars. I've got more in here, but I don't want to be sitting here just taking up all that time with that. I just thought it'd be kind of fun to randomly go over some cards, maybe like especially in the replays, we can get some comments going where people say, oh, that's a really good card, or that's a really crappy card. You know what I mean? Like everybody has that. That's worth nothing. You know what I mean? Whatever it is. But I've got a bunch of other cards. You can see like, you know, how big the little box is, and you know, that they're right there at the top. It's still basically full. And these are pretty much, just to look at real quick, it looks like these are pretty much all Garbage Pail Kids. I mean, because you can see that stack there, that's a Garbage Pail back. So, and they look like they're in pretty good shape. I mean, they just been sitting there in that box. Again, I haven't had them in sleeves or anything like that. I'm thinking about doing that. But they look like they're still in pretty good shape. And I still have some other cards, that, like another stack of them somewhere, that I basically put in a different place, because those cards, they weren't put in here like that, like this. They were put in there like this, like, and so they were kind of sticking out. So those cards are probably not in the greatest of shape. They probably have some wear, you know what I mean, and stuff like that. But these cards look like they're in pretty good shape. So I'm definitely going to keep doing that. I'm going to do more of those, basically, where I'm just putting the cards out, and I'm going to see if maybe we can get some people commenting on them and saying, hey, that's a good card, that's a bad card, that kind of stuff. I think we're a little bit backed up on the comments here. David mentions, I remember collecting those to connect the back. And I actually remember that too, that I would try to get the actual image from the back. You know, I would try to collect all the cards so I could get that image. I remember doing that as a kid as well, Dave, that I thought that was a cool thing to do. James is in the house and he says, I'm still alive, guys. Been super busy, missed a lot. And we're glad to have you back. And maybe this format change has helped with that, because maybe you were too busy on Wednesdays and weren't able to check us out. Now with the Thursday format, you're able to check us out again, James, because I remember you, James. And that is one of the reasons we're doing this, is we were kind of hoping that maybe we might be able to get more of an audience, you know, doing it on different days, because Wednesday seems very saturated when it comes to people that are doing, you know, streaming shows. It seemed like it was very, very saturated. And like I checked before, and there were only like a couple other people that I saw that were streaming when we started today. So right off the bat, I think that's helped us. And we're glad you're back, James. Definitely glad to see you. David also mentions cards that feature a glossy paper finish instead of a matte, and I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right, can also command a premium, as the matte card stock is more common. And I have heard that. I have heard about the glossy versus the matte. And am I pronouncing that right, Dave? Is that the term? The glossy versus the...
Yeah, it's glossy versus matte finish.
Matte finish. I mean, I just want to make sure I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Yeah, a glossy finish, I mean, a glossy finish can be how the paper is milled. But in addition to that, too, sometimes they actually feed it through like a coater. So it actually sometimes has like a UV coating or a coating. And it's supposed to help, preserve, you know, the color, the brilliancy, you know what I mean? And it against the elements and, you know, the oil coming off your fingers, such on and so forth. That's what a UV coating is primarily meant for. But a UV coating is also one of the biggest culprits to bricking, which is where if you store the card incorrectly for a period of time, what ends up happening is the heat and whatever will actually reactivate that coating. And that's what causes them to stick together like bricks, hence the term bricking.
And James, it is so good to have you back, because you still have the inside jokes. He says, next you're collecting the Picard cards, which, by the way, I do have the Impel. I think it's the Star Trek 25th anniversary cards. I do have, a complete set of those, because I did get an actual box of them. And I even sent away for the binder So it's got like the official, you know, like start, I think it's 25th anniversary. I got to check it out. I might bring that on the show one of these days too, and just kind of go over some of those cards, because those actually are Impel cards. And then I also have the Impel Olympic cards from the original Dream Team. I can't remember which year that was, but the original Dream Team, you know, with like, you know, Larry Bird and Michael Jordan, Charles, you know, Barkley, all those, which I didn't, you know, which is pretty cool. And so I kind of wonder if that might have some value, because that was like the original Dream, you know, the original Dream Team before all these other ones that came along that, you know, let's face it, there was only one Dream Team. So.
Well, it's interesting because James is saying show and tell, show and tell. Now, along those lines, I did have a couple things for morning cartoons I thought that might find interesting. So I do have here, I did find my stack of cards that I wanted to submit, actually have graded. And it has changed a little bit. I was going to show some of the cards here just on the top. And then I thought morning cartoons might not just find it interesting, actually the binder that I got, that vintage binder that I've got my Impel cards in, because I still think that's pretty cool. So let me put my screen up here center and I'll show this. So these were the cards I had wanted to submit to get graded. So this is, of course, 1991 Impel Venom. This is one of the cards I was trying to get graded. I also went ahead and got because that's a 91. No, it's 90. 1990, my bad. 1990. This is one of the ones I wanted to get graded. That's 1990 Venom. I also have 1991 Venom that I wanted to have graded because I just really like the character. I'm excited for the Venom 2, the Let There Be Carnage. And then I also have the 93 Venom. I was just going to get all of them graded.
That's a weird looking copies. One. Can you put that one up again? That's pretty. Yeah, that's interesting Eric, image.
That's Eric Larson, who back then was actually the artist who took over for Todd McFarlane, actually, on Spider-Man. But yeah, this is and you can see the difference in approach, you know, between, you know, this 91 and then, of course, the 93. Those are very drastically different approaches. Yes. And then
very different.
And then here's some more 90 that I had intended to get graded. This is, of course, Wolverine. This is the patch version of Wolverine. Rogue. I talked before again about how I'm a huge Rogue fan. I had wanted to get this Rogue card graded. And I'm holding them kind of crooked so that the light doesn't catch them too harshly. But these are all pretty well centered. And, you know, corners are real nice and crisp. And I had a Dr. Doom. From 90.
David asked a good question, which is where do you find who did the art on the cards?
Well, that's the irony. Some of these I just recognize. sometimes you can see the signatures. You can, like, for example, you can see Eric Larson's signature on there. See that, right? It's kind of hard to tell, but Eric Larson's signature is pretty recognizable. It's on this leaf. Some of these other ones are a little tough. I know that all these 90 cards, for example, Paul Mounts actually colored all these cards. It's got a very distinctive style. You can tell it's Paul Mounts colored all of these. The only thing with the 90 ones is it's hard for me to tell who actually drew some of these.
Morning Cartoon says they look great. He's definitely enjoying your collection there. He says they look really good.
Yeah, and sometimes I can recognize who drew these cards too, which this will be hard. I don't think that some of you started the show here with us. So I've been a professional illustrator and graphic designer, and I have actually worked for Marvel and DC, and I've been doing this almost 30 years. So sometimes I can just recognize people's style instantaneously. The biggest thing with the 90 cards, though, to be honest with you, is it is really hard for me to tell on the 90 cards who did these, because they're hard to pick out. You know, some of the other ones, like Eric Larson has a very distinctive style. So you can definitely tell that Eric Larson did that Venom card. You know, some of the others, like, for example, like the ones that I picked, like the Blade rookie card, you know, that's got Tom Palmer's signature on it. You can also kind of tell that's his style. Like if you've seen a lot of his ink work, there's a quality to how he kind of pulls a drawing together, you know, that you can see in his ink work, but also in his color work. That's pretty, you know, like, for example, the Night Stalkers card we showed earlier, that is actually that's Mark Texera. And you can tell because, again, his signature is pretty evident and displayed on there. Tape needs a jeweler's loop.
Now, yeah, I thought the same thing. When I saw you doing that, I thought exactly the same thing. James also mentions that some of the cards came with the card with a list of the artist as a bonus. So yeah. Some people might not be aware of that, but I guess that is one way also, I guess, that you can determine the artist is that some of them came with that list, which I was not aware of that.
So I'll show this off for Martin Cartoon. So I was really proud of this. So I was looking for something to display my Impel cards in, and I wanted something kind of neat and fun that kind of fit sort of the vintage-ness of them, because I think of them as vintage. I know they're not as old as the 60s cards or the 76 cards, the stickers, whatever. But I just wanted something that just kind of fit. So I ended up finding on Mercari this this vintage binder.
Yeah, actually. I love that binder. I got to see it before on a previous episode, and I really like that. I think that
and
that's awesome.
I got it.
I love it.
And I got it really cheap. Like I paid less than $20 for this thing. And then I have again, this is primarily for my 90 Impel, but I've said before I have a probably really bad fascination with Rogue. So I have every Rogue card that's ever been collected. It's kind of a weird crush thing that I probably shouldn't talk about on the show too much.
I don't think that's weird at all, Dave. I think there's a lot of guys out there that dig Rogue, especially like the 90s version, like the one that's closest to like the 90s cartoon version. I love that version of Rogue personally. I'm sure we're not alone in that.
And then, so here's where my 90 Impel cards actually start. And I don't have a full set of the 90 Impel cards. I just have a lot of the ones I collected from back in the day. And you can, these are kind of hard to find, but there's a Fantastic Four one. There's a Hulk one. There's a Captain America one as well. I'll show you this one. Let me show you this one because this one's kind of cool. This is kind of hard to see in the light. This is a leftover from my days when I was on what I call the con circuit or the convention circuit. Now, if you guys can tell, that's Andy Kubert's signature on this Rogue card. And that's not printed. He signed that for me. Like a
James
billion
says,
years
you've
ago.
Gone rogue on Retro Rogues.
That's true. So,
well, Hollywood Jackson said he had a crush on Jessica Rabbit, so no worries there. I think a lot of us did, Hollywood. I think that's another one that's really not that weird.
Yeah. But yeah, if you have a chance, keep an eye out. This one's in really good shape. There's a Captain America one right now that's on eBay. It's in really bad shape though. It's not been properly stored. So, but this one was in just beautiful condition. Like I said, less than $20. I was just like, hell yeah. So this is where my 90s and my Rogue cards actually live, is in this kind of cool vintage binder. And then I did find an interesting one for my DC cards, but we'll talk about the DC cards on a different show. So,
yeah, it's good. I think we're going to have a lot of material, and it seems like we've gotten a good reaction tonight, because I didn't know if we would have any kind of reaction tonight. So there's definitely more to come. I mean, we're going to stick with this format on Thursdays. The Collector's Corner is going to be the focus on Thursdays. Again, we'll be doing retro reviews basically on Sundays, Sunday afternoons around noon. What's the plan for that? Because we will be continuing to do like actual reviews of like movies and television shows, but definitely with a more of a retro emphasis. Because quite frankly, the new stuff really wasn't doing anything for us. You know, we focused a lot on Falcon the Winter Soldier and a lot of other things, and we kind of just got lost in the noise, I think, because everybody's talking about that stuff. And James mentions he thought that you were going to pull out a Pocket Keeper.
Oh no, it's. It's funny because the one I have actually been looking for is actually the Hulk one. And the Hulk one is really hard to find. And I had what, and I've talked about this before. I used to play the TSR, the Marvel Superheroes role-playing game. And what I had done back then is I had used some of those rule books so much, the saddle stitching and the binding on some of those books was starting to kind of break down. And so what I did is I had someone cut the ends off of it and then three-hole punch it. And I had all of my Marvel rule books and modules and everything for the Marvel role-playing game was actually in that Hulk binder. And I loved that thing. And even when I stopped playing it, I continued to keep it. But somehow I lost it in the move, or I don't know what the hell happened to it. But I just loved that binder. And so, yeah, I'd been looking for the Hulk one. And when I saw this Fantastic Four one and it was in, like, beautiful condition, I was like, well, let me snag that up and put the cards in there. because, you know, that's the kind of stuff that makes it kind of fun, and it's kind of neat. It's like a vintage binder for a vintage collection of cards. So kind of,
yeah, I dig it. I think it's really, I love the Thing. The Thing is one of my favorite characters. In fact, I have a Thing action figure where he's actually got the trench coat on. Unfortunately, I think the hat and the glasses are lost. I think it was one of those Toy Biz ones. I love that Thing. And I love that Thing. Yeah, I love the Thing. I've always enjoyed that character. I've always thought he's a really cool character. So any imagery of him, I really enjoy. Now, we are going to also, on this new format, we are going to continue to do like pop culture news stories and streaming war stories with the hope of being a little bit more topical about stuff that's actually like sort of trending like right now. So in that vein, I do have I wanted to go ahead and do a trailer reaction, which we haven't done a trailer reaction in a long time. Dave, have you seen the Venom Let There Be Carnage trailer? Have you seen it yet?
Yeah, I've seen it. I debated actually about talking about Venom and Carnage cards actually for tonight's show, but I felt like that when I was looking at it, I felt like there was potentially more upside on the Blade cards right now because they're so inexpensive. But actually, next Thursday, I was actually planning to actually talk about the Venom and the Carnage cards, actually.
Well, I like the fact that you were talking about some Venom cards because I did put that in the description that we were going to be talking about the Venom trailer. Dave and I didn't get a whole lot of time to talk behind the scenes because of the technical issues you were having, where Dave wasn't able to hear me. So I actually was trying to reboot my computer in case the problem was on my end. That's why I wasn't here at the beginning of the show, was because of those technical problems. Dave mentions, by the way, that he said that Hulkbinder on eBay, he found that it was going for like $200. That's crazy. Wow. I assume that's going to be a very vintage thing. But I do want to go ahead and react to this trailer. I haven't seen it. So I haven't seen it. Now, of course, unfortunately, we cannot share the audio because we'll definitely get in trouble if we do. Heck, we might get in trouble anyway because it seems like YouTube likes to pick on us. I mean, I don't know. I don't understand it, but it is what it is. So let's go here to the beginning. Obviously, we start out with an image of Venom. So this is the first time I've actually seen this. I haven't seen this at all. Rules, no eating people. All right, that's a little weird, I have to say. I'm definitely getting sort of a comic kind of vibe, right? Very much like MCU kind of vibe. Which, of course, technically this is not MCU. It's Sony, right? So it's just their Spider-Verse, if you will. I'm really surprised by that the comedic tone of that, because I thought Venom was supposed to be very dark. Wow, that is really bizarre to me. Now, I have to be honest. I haven't seen the first Venom, so I don't know the tone of the original Venom movie. So, and it's not because I don't want to see it. It's just because I just haven't had the chance.
It's just I quite liked and owned the first Venom movie. I really enjoyed it, and I feel like it's pretty much in line with the first Venom film. It was actually a lot of fun. So why a lot of people liked it so much.
That's interesting, because I had thought, you know, based on what I had heard, that it was a really dark, you know, kind of like, you know, horror overtones kind of thing.
Well, it's dark too. I mean, it has horror overtones, but it's not afraid to have a little fun at the same time.
So Woody Harrelson is in this, huh? I didn't know that either.
Yeah, Woody Harrelson is Carnage.
Now, I'll be honest with you. I am not familiar with the character Carnage, like, at all. That's not a character that I have any familiarity with at all. Well, that's gnarly, that hand. Let There Be Carnage.
Have you heard the audio for this?
See, I can hear the audio, so I apologize for the audience that can't, but I can hear the audio. I have to say, that voice is pretty weird. I mean, I don't know how I feel about that. Again, I didn't see the original film, so you know, I don't have anything to compare it to or anything like that. Like I didn't see the original film, so I didn't know that was a thing where Venom actually talks, you know, independently, basically. Is that something that they do in the comics as well, Dave? Where Venom just sort of talks on, you know, the slime basically talks on its own without the host.
Well, I mean, Eddie Brock can often hear the symbiote talking to him. So that's a thing, because it's more that he's hearing the symbiote talking. I don't think she can hear it. You know what I mean? I think only he can hear it in the the end, for example. But yeah, that's a thing.
That's interesting. So yeah, I'm surprised by what a comedic tone it seems to have. I really thought they were going for something darker with Venom. So again, I haven't seen the first movie, so I don't have anything to compare it with. But it does surprise me, because I had thought that they were going to go with something way dark, you know.
Interesting. Yeah, I'm seeing this listing. I was checking out this listing actually on eBay. I'm clearly having internet problems, Eric. I guess that's what's going on.
James had mentioned, does that Hulk binder on eBay have the Marvel RPG pages in it? I think David found what happened to it.
Yeah, I was trying to verify that. There's actually a lot of those Marvel Mania vintage binders actually on eBay right now. Actually, there's a Hulk one on there right now. That's the current bid's only $10.50. So if anyone out there is interested in them, there wasn't that many. The last time I was looking, when I bought that Fantastic Four one, I got that Fantastic Four one off of Mercari. I kind of want to bid on that Hulk one that's only going for $10.50. But with the way things are going, Kirby tees right now, I better just hold on to whatever cash I've got. So it's been interesting the last, you know, month or so. So
yeah, I hear that. I hear that. As Dave knows, and I have mentioned on the show, I'm actually going to be filming in California, not this weekend, but next weekend. And I'm going to be spending a lot of money. I'm going to be spending a lot of money basically on travel and lodging and stuff, because I do have an actor, and my partner, Robert McVeigh, is going to be coming with us as well. So there's going to be some major expenses coming up for me as well. I did have another article that I wanted to share with everybody. I did put it in the comments that I would be talking about this. This is from a Deadline article. And basically, it says that Masters of the Universe Revelation, this is a first look photos for Kevin Smith's Netflix series Revival. And I know this is something that you had been quite interested in, Dave. You had brought up initially when we first started talking about this He-Man series that was going to be coming to Netflix. And so in a way, this kind of also kind of delves into streaming wars, too, because this is something that hasn't actually come out yet. This is obviously something that's in the works. According to this article, I believe it's supposed to be coming out, I want to say like June 22nd or something like that, or 26th, I want to say. I don't have the actual text up, because I wanted to look at these pictures. And I don't know if you had seen these, Dave. So these are the first look, basically, pictures of this series. So we can see right here, right off the bat, we've got an image of Skeletor and He-Man. Then as we go down, we've got an image of He-Man on Battle Cat. So we can check that out. Then we go below. This one is really interesting, because it seems to me that Teela is going to be the focus of this show. You know, whether you like that or not, that's what they're doing. I think there's obvious reasons why they're doing that. That seems to be the trend these days, is to focus on the female characters. So this is kind of interesting to me to see this image of Teela. So I think this particular image, I think is okay. I don't really have an issue with it. I do know that there's some people already that are sort of lining up on both sides, in terms of they already hate this show, and people that already like love it and think it's the greatest thing ever. And it seems to be already becoming divisive before it's even come out, which is typical these days, right? I mean, people always have to take, you know, they have to be offended by something, and they have to take a strong stand on things that they really don't know anything about, because we haven't seen the show yet. I'm just reacting to the artwork. So we've got that Teela image. This is
Okay, so apologies, everyone. That's what we were talking about by the technical issues that we've been plagued with this evening. I have no idea what's going on. We've been plagued by all manner of problems tonight. The technical issues on the show have been pretty unbearable. So if anyone can still hear me, feel free to chime in. Again, my apologies. I don't know what happened. We both just got kicked off, and I was able to just kind of log back in. So I hope people can actually still see me at the moment. I'm just going to go ahead and sign off for this evening. I want to apologize to everyone. We had all kinds of issues. So hopefully this Sunday we're going to have, like I said, this Sunday we're going to have the show again. And it'll be the retro review. We're going to be talking about the Babylon 5, pilot episode that'll be on Sunday. It'll be a retro review talking about Babylon 5. Next Thursday, we will be back with another Collector's Corner. It'll be same kind of format as tonight. However, hopefully we'll have all our technical issues worked out. So we will be, again, talking about trading cards. We're going to be talking about comic books. And also, you know, possibly even action figures, collectibles. That'll, again, is focus of the Collector's Corner. That'll be next Thursday, 7 p.m. Arizona time. I think a specific standard time. And then again, Sunday is actually at noon. So Sunday at noon is going to be the retro review. And again, we'll be talking about Babylon 5 on HBO Max, as well as covering, as Eric was in the middle of doing when everything just kind of went sideways on us, actually continue to talk about actually pop culture news, and also streaming wars as well. That's normally what we do. I don't know why I have so many problems this evening. So I apologize for that. We kind of started, and we did not want to miss having this episode tonight. And so we went ahead and went with it, even though we were having technical difficulties, as all of you unfortunately have seen. We disappeared. Sorry about that, David. Like I said, both of our machines just kicked us off the internet at the same time. We're both out in Arizona, so my best guess is that something going on in Arizona we're not aware of. I don't know. We do have some fires burning in the area, not near Eric, hopefully, but they are kind of up in my part of the woods, literally and figuratively. So maybe that's knocked something out. I don't know. James said he can hear me. Good to hear that. Hollywood Sanders lag. And he says, but you are here. All right. Awesome. So again, my apologies to everyone for what happened this evening. Just to recap real quick, if I can get my computer to cooperate here just real quickly, I'm going to recap and then probably sign off for this evening. Okay. So again, tonight's card picks, we were talking about from 1992, the Impel Marvel trading card series, card 177. This is either your first or second appearance of Blade on a trading card. It's a fun way to collect the character and get into collecting trading cards. The second card pick for this evening, again, keeping the theme of Blade, because we know that Blade is coming to the MCU, is the 1992 Skybox Marvel Masterpieces card number 36. This is Blade. And as far as my research can tell, this is your Blade rookie card. So there's that right there. So there's the card selections for this evening. And then I'm going to try and bring up the comic graphic here real quick. What do you know? That loaded just right on up. That is so weird after all the problems I've had tonight that it's actually working fine. All right. So here on the comic side, the picks for this evening. Again, with a little bit of a focus on Moon Knight, we have Spectacular Spider-Man 22 from 1978. This is the first time that Moon Knight and Spider-Man meet and battle. Again, this is a book that if you research it, you can still pick it up. This is a key Moon Knight book. You can pick it up for basically less than $20. That's what I primarily recommend. Things you can pick up for less than $20. So it's a fun way to collect a hobby, but not feel like that you bought something that you feel really bad about later on. Because again, you're invested in it, but not that heavily invested in it. Fun way to kind of collect comics and still be kind of a little bit of a speculator. So this is the first meeting between Moon Knight and Spider-Man. This is an early Moon Knight key issue, Spectacular Spider-Man 22 from 1978. The other two, we kind of have some more modern books. Our modern pick for this evening is the Joker number 2. This is the current series. You can probably still find this maybe even potentially on the stands at comic book stores. This is the newsstand, not the one of the variant covers. This is the first appearance of Vengeance. This is Bane's daughter. A lot of people are excited about this character, like they were excited about Punchline, which I mentioned earlier was basically the replacement for Harley Quinn because she got too popular to be the Joker's sidekick anymore. So now Punchline is his sidekick. But again, this is the first appearance of Vengeance, Bane's daughter. So it's kind of a fun book to pick up. Again, right now, eBay, it seems this book's tracking about $15. Probably, again, you can probably pick it up at comic stores, possibly still on the stands for cover price. Our next one, our last one for this evening is Moon Knight 188. This is for 2017. There's another cover for this. That's the kind of the more popular standard cover that people are collecting. That's the one that's got Moon Knight kind of hanging off a water tower with fire off in the distance. I picked this one because that book's running already at $40. This one, however, you can get for about $10 still. This is the Lenticular Legacy cover. So we have the classic Bill Sienkiewicz image. But the thing that's neat about this one, again, this one you can pick up for $10. This is the first appearance of Patient 86, or sometimes referred to as the Sun King. There again, there have been set photos of Ethan Hawke filming the Disney Plus show, the Disney Plus, the Marvel show for Moon Knight. A lot of people are speculating based on what he's wearing that he is actually playing Patient 86 or Sun King, as he is known, which is a Moon Knight villain, a more contemporary, you know, modern Moon Knight villain. But a lot of people are beginning to speculate and think that that is who he's going to be playing in the Disney Plus show. So this is going to be your book to pick up because Moon Knight 188 is the first appearance of the Sun King or Patient 86. So there's going to be kind of like your comic speculation pick actually for Moon Knight. So these are the books for this evening. And again, I apologize for all the insanity. Like normally Eric is here to help kind of run the control room and we kind of have a good flow between the two of us. We've been plagued by computer problems. So these are your comic picks for this evening. And with that, I am going to go ahead and end the show here. I just want to thank you all for watching. I hope that you enjoyed this episode of the Retro Rogues Live. Again, this is one of our new format shows. This is the new one. This is the Collector's Corner. I'll bring the graphic up here. So this Collector's Corner, this is our new Thursday show. Again, 7 o'clock, talking about comic books, trading cards, all those kind of fun things. Mostly kind of talking about the trading cards because there doesn't seem as to be as much talk about that as the other stuff. So again, that's going to be what we're doing here on Thursday. So I want to thank you for watching and listening to this episode. Hope that you would join us on Sunday for our retro review where we're talking about Babylon 5. And I think we're going to let David Motz have the last word, as we like to always do in here on the Retro Rogues. We like to have our viewers have the last word. And David Motz says, be safe. I think that's good advice for all of us. Everybody be safe out there. Enjoy the rest of your evening. Please join us Sunday at noon for the Retro Review. Be back next Thursday for Collector's Corner. Thank you for watching this episode of the Retro Rogues Live. We want to thank you for listening to this episode of the Retro Rogues Live podcast. You can learn more about Eric Alexander and find the live show on either Twitch, YouTube, or Twitter by searching for BassGod14, that's BASSGOD14, on either YouTube, Twitch, or Twitter. If you are curious about co-host Dave Beatty, you can see some of his art, find social media links, and so much more at his website, DaveBeatty.com. That's DaveBeatty.com. If you enjoyed this episode of the Retro Rogues Live, be sure to like, share, and subscribe.